Our short psalm today is written by David, and it's written about him. And I'm really delighted to say that our reader for this week is Helen Henderson. I had a carefully orchestrated visit with her earlier this week, and we had masks, we had social distancing, and I was able to record her. So over to Helen to hear our reading.
Good morning, everyone at White Inch. It's lovely to see you all here. I'm missing you all. And Deborah has asked me this morning to read Psalm 131, My Heart is Meek. Lord, my heart is meek before you. I don't consider myself better than others. I am content to not pursue matters that are over my head, such as your complex mysteries and wonders, that I am not yet ready to understand. I am humbled and quietened in your presence, like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap. I am your resting child, and my soul is content in you. O people of God, your time has come to quietly trust, waiting upon the Lord now and forever. In Jesus' name, Amen.
This past 2 weeks, I've been pondering what it means to be like a contented child sitting with its mother. How did David get to the place where that's how he described himself before God? How was a mighty king, the king of Israel, able to describe himself as being like a contented child on his mother's lap? And actually, the very week that I'm exploring that idea of being a contented child, I learnt something about myself which wasn't particularly appealing. It turns out I have a tendency to be a doom scroller. And doom scrolling, for those of you who don't know, was a term that was first used May 2020. And it describes obsessively checking the internet for news about a bad situation, and in particularly in the context of the coronavirus epidemic. Now, I think I'm probably not the only one. I guess most of you watching will know the feeling, the urge to check most recent outbreaks for statistics, what it means to be in different phases. When might church reopen? So doom scrolling, as you might imagine, or even know, does not lead to a contented heart that Psalm 131 talks of. In fact, limiting my intake of news has been very necessary, especially at the height of the lockdown, because too much news was just simply overwhelming for us. And so this week, when I'm considering how to be at peace, a contented child, a resting child, or as the NIV says in Psalm 131, a weaned child, the discovery of my continued tendency to doom scroll wasn't the most encouraging of starts. So we're turning to Psalm 131 to see what God wants to show us through that. There's Charles Spurgeon, who was a 19th century English preacher, had this to say about the psalm. It's one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. It speaks of a young child, but it contains the experience of a man in Christ. Short to read, but a lifetime to learn the lessons inside. A fight against pride, and instead the embracing of a humble mindset, the adoption of a posture of quiet intimacy and trust in our Heavenly Father. And that humility and that quiet trust is to be our posture, even if, and especially if, perhaps we could say, we are given a position of status, a position of authority, just like David was. So what can we learn from David's life? Well, he declares in verse 1 that he is not proud, that he doesn't consider himself better than others. Here's a man who hasn't forgotten his humble roots. He started life, after all, as a mere shepherd boy, the youngest son of his father, and actually his father didn't even bother to include him in the lineup of sons when Samuel asked for them all to be lined up so that he could choose the next king over Israel. That story is told in 1 Samuel 16, and it is a humbling start for young David. He's the youngest son, and I bet his older brothers don't let him forget that. And he was forgotten by his father. He's a shepherd. And David didn't deny his humble beginnings. Psalm 78 talks of David being brought from the sheepfolds to being the king. David can declare God's work in his life. Look, he can say, God brought me from over there to over here. And he refers to his humble past in Psalm 23 as well. He knows God as shepherd because David himself used to be one. And you know, just as last week, Lal spoke about looking back over 25 years of White Inch Church history. So we too, when we do that, we can say, God brought us from there to over here. Look at what God has done. And in that acknowledgement, well, it's all about God, of course. It's not about us. It's not about our history, not about what we have done. It's all about the Lord. And that keeps us humble. We show up, make ourselves available, and God, in his grace, he uses us. So any person, any church group, any leader who forgets their roots risks getting carried away with pride. We begin to think we've earned our reputation, our place, our status. And those who are filled with pride, those with an overinflated ego, rarely make good leaders. And I think that's true, whether I'm talking about leading a nation, whether I'm talking about leading a church, a ministry, or even in our homes. David reminds us here that this is not the way forward. Instead, remember the small beginnings, the shepherd in the field. Remember the humblings too, the lessons, the really hard lessons in David's case from the Lord. In David's case, we have the abuse of his power against Bathsheba and then his arranging for the killing of her husband Uriah. And there was real hard discipline that followed those events for David and all led to his humbling. But of course, for us, David is not a perfect example. For that, we look to Jesus. Even though, as God, Jesus was truly high and lifted up, he humbled himself. He became obedient even to the point of being willing to die a death on the cross. Jesus, gentle and lowly in heart, chose to spend time on earth with those who were the lowest and the least respected in society, and to bring them help, healing, salvation. Followers of Jesus who remain humble do not seek to exalt themselves over others. Rather, they lead from below, lifting, supporting others to step into the fullness of life that God has for them. So on that basis, I wonder what humility might look like for the White Inch Church family. Perhaps it might be looking for where the Holy Spirit is already active and working in our parish and going along and seeing how we can support that, where God is already at work and seeing that perhaps we might be able to join in some way. We sung a lovely song, a song I love a great deal, just before the sermon, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. It's attributed to an Indian Christian, Sadhu Sundar Singh, and I actually got to take some classes on his ministry when I was at university, and I've always remembered him. He came to faith around 1905 in his home in northern India, the Punjab, and he was baptised on his 16th birthday. He was surrounded by English Christians, and there was an expectation that he would dress as an Englishman, that he would speak English, that he would adopt the Anglican traditions of liturgy and worship, that he would sing English hymns. Yet Sadhu Sundar Singh knew that was not the way for him. And so he remained in his traditional saffron robe and his turban, the turban of a sadhu, a religious teacher, and he set off inland, making his way as far as Tibet with the aim of talking about Jesus to those people he met. This man, who admitted he struggled with pride all his life, rejected the formal traditions, the black traditional suits worn by the Anglican Christians. He rejected the status that would come from that. And he instead chose to dress and behave in a way that would attract his fellow Indians. He's quoted as saying this: "I am not worthy to follow in the steps of my Lord, but like him, I want no home, no possessions. Like him, I will belong to the road, sharing the suffering of my people, eating with those who will give me shelter, and telling all men of the love of God." He rejected the status and natural authority of the Anglican tradition, and he instead was the first recorded Indian to attempt to forge a Christian church where locals could be themselves rather than forced into the English culture, which was prevalent at the time. And that humble drawing alongside folk as they were, eating with them, sheltering with them, that was the way to show Jesus' love to them. This was a man who had read and tried to follow the ways of Psalm 131. He knew of the need to remain humble, to remain close to his Father, and to trust. But actually, you know, in big ways and small ways, I know that such examples are found closer to home as well. And I know that because when we chat, you tell me about it. I said earlier, I had the pleasure of popping in to see Helen Henderson this week. She's one of those who has had very limited contact with the outside world while she was shielding during lockdown. And it was good to be reminded of some of the stories of her lockdown when I was with her. And the story in particular of her reaching out to neighbours through something that she said to me, she referred to as window hanging. Reaching out the window on a Thursday, not only to clap in support of the NHS, but also to try and connect with neighbours across the road that she didn't know. And then convincing them that they ought to do the same thing, connecting with each other, on days other than the Thursday. Reaching out, and in this case, a window, meeting people where they are, encouraging them, and in the process, Helen got encouraged as well. But actually, we all know lockdown wasn't plain sailing, and some of you may know that for Helen, it really wasn't the case, that she ended up in hospital where isolation reached yet another level. I thank God that she's home now. I thank God that she is improving all the time. But Helen spoke, and she knows I'm saying this to you, Helen spoke about the difficulties of trusting in God at such trying times. It's difficult to stay that contented child on the Father's knee when there are storms all around us. But I thank God that she is back at home with her gorgeous cats, and she's building her faith up once more. As I say, it's not easy remaining as a child at rest on a parent's knee. It's not always easy to trust. But our faith is about trusting in God, even when we may not feel that God is particularly close to us or even real to us. I wonder what it might look like to be like a weaned child. David's contented spirit is likened to a child that has recently been weaned from his mother's milk and has learned to rest quietly in her embrace and not cry to be breastfed. A child not yet weaned hugs mum with the thought of food and immediate satisfaction. A weaned child hugs mum out of a desire for love, closeness, and companionship. A weaned child comes to mum for herself rather than the gifts that she bestows. And such was David's humble desire to draw near to God. That is such a beautiful picture. To be content in that intimate place with the Lord, no doom scrolling here. Allowing God to direct our gaze rather than our mobile phones. And in such a place, we are able to declare, Lord, I'm your resting child, and my soul is content with you. And it's from that place of experience and knowledge of intimacy with Jesus that we too can rise up and follow him to wherever he takes us, whether it's the furthest corner of another country or hanging out our windows chatting with our neighbours. Amen. We're going to pray now, and I'm going to start with just half a minute or so of silence, so you haven't lost sound. It's just me sort of allowing us to settle ourselves, and then we'll pray. So let's pray together. Father, we yearn to be resting children whose souls are content in you. For those who are struggling, please lift them back onto your knee, O Lord, where there is despair and anxiety. We pray for hope and calm. We pray for all of the White Inch tribe. We give thanks that you have held us together through this COVID season. Help us to emerge safely when the time is right. And in all our actions, may we seek to protect others, especially our most vulnerable, from the spread of this virus. We remember Aberdeen and other cities in the UK and around the world affected by local spikes. Give locals the patience and the willingness to do what is necessary to reduce the numbers affected. We pray for healing for all those currently fighting the virus, or whether they're dealing with the after effects of it. And for those who have been or continue to be in our front line, bring peace, we pray. Bring rest to them. Protect them all, mind, body and spirit. And of course, our minds also turn to the Lebanon, and we pray for the people in Beirut. We pray for those who have been suddenly bereaved, for those who are homeless, for those who are injured. We bring before you, Lord, the paramedics and all the other first responders who are trying to deal with the aftermath of that awful explosion when they're already struggling to cope with COVID-19. Resource them, Lord. Give them rest. Give them the resilience they need to deal with what they're facing. And for the peacemakers, Lord, on the ground, bringing those who are bringing comfort and hope in the name of Jesus, strengthen them too, we pray. 75 years ago this week, atomic bombs were dropped on the Japanese city of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. On such an anniversary, may each one of us be reminded, Lord, that you call us to be humble, to be men and women of peace. Enable each one of us to play our part. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.